Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you as always for being here. Thank you even more for being here, the one and only Justice Mosqueda. You can find him on social media at JUMOSQ. You can find him, of course, acmepackingcompany.com. Justice, I feel extremely sorry for you because you are in a place and a time that does not have Luigi's frozen pizzas. I feel terrible as a human being. I'm going to try to do my best to, figure out a way that we can get you some, freeze dry it maybe, because you're missing out the self-risers, the ultra thin crust. It's all amazing. The breakfast pizza. I feel sorry for you, my friend. It's incredible.
Breakfast pizza might be a new thing to me. I don't know if I've heard that
before. You never had a breakfast pizza?
Buddy, I don't think I've heard of it. I'll partake.
Next time we're on together, I will show you the Luigi's breakfast pizza. It is a delight, my friend. But we've got a lot to get into. As I mentioned, I'm super thankful of you being here. Great chatting with you every single week. Again, follow him on acmepackingcompany.com. We've had a Packers family night. There have been multiple practices since we've talked last. There was a transaction on Monday I want to get to. But let's start off right away with family night. You just told me that you have spent three separate watch-throughs going through with a very fine-tooth comb of all the key takeaways from Packers family night. So, Justice Mosqueda, let's hear it. What's on the top, the very tip top of your mind when it comes to Packers family night?
Yeah, that's a little embarrassing to say out loud. I
don't
know.
Not on this channel. On other channels, it might be. On this channel, it is a badge of pride, my friend. Wear it.
Yeah. So I did the thing again, fourth straight year. I charted snaps. I'm going to continue to chart snaps through the preseason. If they play the first team, you know, during the preseason, stuff like that, I think it's worth getting a beat on that. I think it's helped with 53-man cuts in the past. I think it's worth getting a look at some of those special teams guys and all that stuff. So all three of those watches were for very different reasons. I think I was hitting up Andy at like, I don't know, it might've been like 2 o'clock in the morning, my time. I can't remember.
4 a.m. here. Yep.
And
I was still up.
It was my first time like actually watching the film for the sake of like performance and not personnel. I'm like, why the hell is Donovan Jennings snapping the ball? Why is he rocket snapping this? I guess the first thing, if we're doing broad brush strokes, defensive line looks a lot better than the offensive line right now. That's a double-edged sword, right? Because it could be both of them are good. Or it could be both of them are bad and the offensive line is just worse, right? Like when you haven't played another opponent, this is why teams like to go and do these joint practices and stuff like that. So that you don't have to rely on the strength of your own roster to be able to make some of these decisions going into the regular season. I thought just quick things offensive line wise. Jordan Morgan, his feet are really good. I think his functional strength isn't totally there yet. I know a lot of people are like, eventually he's just going to kick in the guard. I don't know how much better that functional strength is going to look when he's going against 300 pounders instead of 250 pounders. I will say some of the plays that he looked bad on, and I cut up the clip of all of Jordan Love's throws. So I go check that out on APC. You could use that as Jordan Morgan film because he got all the snaps at left tackle with the ones because Rashid Walker was out. The one thing I will say, a lot of it happened from like wide alignment. So when Lucas Van Ness is in a wide nine and he's building up that steam and stuff like that, and Morgan misfires with his hands and basically gives his chest to LVN, yeah, dude. It's going to look like that's you can't do that against that guy in that alignment, right? Telfort got made look goofy several times. I think that was one of the first things I sent to you. I was like, Telfort, get off my team. I don't need Kadeem Telfort on my team this year. I understand that he's big. They like the fact that he's big. I'm going to need a guy to be able to stay in front of someone at some point.
Belton, I talked about Telfort just a little bit before he gets to Belton. I talked about Telfort just a little bit. This is the classic third year sort of red shirt kind of guy. They did it with Yash Nyman. By year three, he was ready to go and he stayed and was the swing tackle and everything was good. Alex Light was another one. Third year, they let him get 2 years under his belt. They needed him to be ready to go year three. He wasn't. See you later. And then they move on from that guy. Caleb Jones, same thing, where they gave him the two redshirt seasons. Then by year three, it's like, are you ready to be the swing tackle or are we going to say goodbye? And if you're not ready for it in that third year, they say goodbye pretty quickly. I don't think if Kadeem Telfort doesn't make some pretty big improvements here pretty quickly, he's going to be more on the Caleb Jones and Alex Light side of things rather than on the Yash Nyman side of things.
Yeah, for sure. Especially considering the fact that, like, I think in an ideal situation, they probably want to get like even Travis Glover ahead of him. And Glover Agreed. Just wasn't out there. So I think that hurts him. Belton, I still think he's a guard man. I know everyone keeps pushing that, you know, his feet are really good for a guy that big. If you compare his feet and Morgan's feet, it's not close to me, right? And obviously, they're a little bit of a different body type and stuff like that. I think ultimately he's going to end up becoming a guard moving forward because he is, I mean, he's strong as hell. And then the backup center situation, I don't know how the other kid looked, right? But if they flipped to Donovan Jennings, and this is what it looks like with Donovan Jennings, like, there's clips where, you know, El Gersma is like looking like this.
Trying to get like high hook, it looks like, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, dog, you might just need to make a move for like a center.
Well,
just for the preseason, just to make sure guys don't get hurt in some of these games, man. Because like I don't think it's gonna matter roster wise.
No.
And I think camp wise, whatever. But it's like you're gonna play live tackle football pretty soon. And I don't think that you're gonna, you know, I'm assuming that the first stringers aren't going to be playing that much of the preseason because that's just kind of how Matt rolls, right? I'm not worried when Monk is in there.
I think Monk might play. I think he might just play. Like, I don't think they're going to necessarily. Maybe. I could see like the final couple drives or something like that where they give Jennings or Trey Hill, one of those guys, a couple snaps, but I would not be surprised at all to see Jacob Monk playing late third, early fourth quarter, still in the game, just for that very reason. I don't think you're going to learn anything from anybody else if you've got a center who can't hang and is just rocketballing the thing over your quarterback's head. So I think Jacob Monk is about to play a lot, and there's really no reason not to. He needs all the reps he can get anyway. You're not necessarily saving him for the regular season. You're probably seventh or eighth offensive lineman. I expect him to play a lot.
Wouldn't be a bad call. Again, I'd be worried every single time Jennings or
maybe just no shotgun snaps. Maybe just right under center.
Under center 2 minute, like it's 2005, under center empty, all that stuff. I have some thoughts on like personnel stuff, but I like the big thing to me was just from like an evaluation standpoint, if you're again broad brush strokes. Offensive line, not so great of a day. I posted the Jordan Love clips, right? It's like 2 minutes for all of his throws. He ends up missing two deep shots by about a yard, and that's about all you can analyze, right? There was the interception to Carrington Valentine where I think we think Matthew Golden was bumped a little bit, but there, you know, it wasn't shown on replay, so it's kind of hard to say if that's true or not. I know that was something that people in the booth calling the practice, I almost said the game, the practice said. And then, you know, he completed a lot of, I mean, everything else was basically checked out stuff. He missed two deep shots, and that's kind of what practice amounted to that day.
That's where I've been with Jordan. I think his command of the offense has been fantastic. He's taking good care of the football. I loved his little scramble for 16 or whatever it was. And he's shown more of that in camp as well, of just his willingness to take off. Obviously easier to do when you've got a red jersey on, but I think some of that is going to carry over. And then, you know, the short and intermediate stuff he's been really good with. It's just the deep ball. It's just a hair off right now. If he can just get that cleaned up between now and Detroit, we should be in a really good place. But everything else has looked really good. Just a couple of the deep shots, whether it's overthrows, underthrows, just hasn't quite gotten there from a rhythm and timing standpoint. I'm hoping over the course of the next few weeks that gets cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Do we want to...
I want all the personnel.
You want to talk about
the nerd out. All right. Nerd out, my friend.
All right. I want to start with receiver, because receiver is an ongoing discussion that everyone argues about all the time, because the Jaden Reed that we have in our hopes and dreams is different than the Jaden Reed that Matt LaFleur seems to be deploying, right? I wrote, like way earlier in the offseason, about how Malik Reed over the last 2 years has played five times, or Malik Heath has played five times as many snaps in two wide receiver sets than Jaden Reed. And that is all to just stress. Jaden Reed comes on the field in three receiver sets. Jaden Reed comes on the field as a slot receiver. That is pretty much how they've used him exclusively since he's been in Green Bay. Charted the snaps for outside receivers. Matthew Golden got 22 looks. Romeo Dobbs got 20. Malik Heath got 16. I don't think that that's going to stick. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Tavian Wicks wasn't out there and that Savion Williams dropped out pretty early. Williams had four. Mecole Hardman, four. Luke Musgrave got split out wide one time. And then Julian Hicks, who I had not considered getting reps with the first teams at all, was out there for one snap. Jaden Reed, 0.0 as an outside receiver. All 10 of his snaps came in the slot. For reference, Matthew Golden got 27 total snaps with the first team offense, and Reed got 10, right? So again, I think some of this isn't going to necessarily stick because of the injuries, right? Christian Watson's going to be involved. Tavian Wicks is going to be involved. So I think that's going to,
I also think Jaden Reed was battling, I think he was limited to some extent as well, just because he had the practice a couple days before he had dropped out at he didn't do any team activities. Then on Friday, he did some team activities, but it was pretty limited. I think he was a little bit limited in that family night, if I had to guess as well. But to your point, it's still interesting nonetheless.
Yeah. This was supposed to be the year, right? Where people were like, oh, maybe he's going to be on the thing for like two receiver sets. I have friends who work in like fantasy football and stuff like that, that I've just collected over the years, right? Every single one of them were like, you do the preseason charting stuff. Tell me about Jaden Reed. They're absolutely heartbroken. They're like, oh, it's going to happen again.
I asked for you. I asked Matt LaFleur about it for you. I don't know if you heard me ask him.
Did you ask him about in the slot?
Here's what I started with. I said,
I heard you talked about like small receivers, blockers, something like that.
Yes, and then I did ask that. So that was the beginning of the conversation, or the beginning of the question was, just basically liking bigger wide receivers on the outside for blocking purposes. I said, do you feel like you can get Jaden Reed and Golden on the field at the same time? And he's like, yes. And he gave an example of a block that I think Jaden Reed made. I said, they're both really scrappy.
He said he blocked LVN. And I was like, I need film of this one.
I need film of it. And I'm sure that's not exactly the most flattering thing for LVN either. But yes, mentioned that, didn't seem to have any hesitation. And then I followed it up with, do you think we could see more of Jaden Reed in two wide receiver sets and playing on the outside more? And he said, yes, he's more than capable of doing that. It just depends on the situation and what they're trying to get out of that particular play, something to that extent. So it was very much of like, of course we could do that anytime we want. But, sometimes actions speak louder than words. And until we actually see it, it does not seem like they have a ton of interest in actually doing it. But we'll see. Maybe they're just, you know, holding it out for Detroit, and they're going to surprise Detroit with Jaden Reed as an outside wide receiver.
Yeah, again, I'll believe it when I see it at this point. Otherwise, I'm going to think, you know, it's kind of business as usual. The only thing other than, you know, Reed outside receiver, thumbs down, probably not in our future, that I'm taking away from that personnel. So Malik Heath did get 22 snaps, though, with the first team offense. And I do wonder, because, you know, we had kind of talked about Mecole Hardman, right, and how it's a win condition for him. You know, if you're going to be the sixth receiver, right, you probably have to win the punt return job. Well, if he doesn't, like, maybe they do keep six and they keep Malik Heath and they just have him play on special teams. But again, like, the way Bisaccia has kind of done it on special teams, cornerbacks and receivers often very much play the same type of positions. And if you're bringing back Corey Ballantyne, that probably hurts the ability to keep Malik Heath, right? Especially if the other guy is Bo Melton, who is also a special teams contributor, right? You get good special teams contributors at corner four, corner five. Okay, do we need to keep a wide receiver six when he's mostly going to be out there as a blocker, outside receiver, which we have plenty of on this team and are going to get more of when Christian Watson comes back, all that stuff. So something at least worth giving thought to. I don't think the table completely tilts in Heath's favor just because he got a bunch of snaps in this preseason area, this practice, right? But it's at least worth noting. I mean, he out-snapped Mecole Hardman by a good amount. And Hardman snaps too. He played 11, 7 of them came in the slot. So it's almost looked like he's like the Reed backup, whereas like Wicks is still like an actual outside wide receiver. And then, you know, if you don't have a Hardman, like, they're going to be able to play Matthew Golden in the slot. Like, oh, okay, no one's going to press the guy who's, you know, running a 4-2, whatever. Like, yeah, you're going to be able to figure out how to get that guy the ball.
Savion can play there. Musgrave can play. Like, they have almost everyone can play in the slot. I mean, not the same as Jaden Reed. Obviously, there's a difference there, but they have a lot of guys that can play in the slot. The outside ones are more interesting. I will say this as well. I would be willing to bet you, obviously, I haven't charted it or anything. I'd be willing to bet you that the snaps are similar with the ones in practices as well, that Heath is far outgunned Mecole Hardman in snaps with the first team would just be my initial gut reaction to it as well.
Interesting.
I would not rule out Malik Heath at this point. I'm not saying he makes it. I'm not saying whatever, but I would definitely not rule him out. He's had a pretty good camp so far. The thing I would say is he looks exactly like Malik Heath. Like, we're pretty familiar with this player.
Yeah.
Good, you know, he's an outside possession wide receiver.
I mean, there's no, the other thing too, like we talked about, right, is if you keep Hardman on the roster for week one, is he's a vested veteran, so he's going to fully guarantee you're making the decision, okay, if we release him at any point, he's still going to get a full year salary. But when you have Christian Watson coming back, do you even need to keep that guy, that sixth receiver, for, you know, 18 weeks or whatever it is? Right. And maybe that is in favor of Malik Heath too, who is not a vested veteran and is still on one of these rookie contracts.
Not to mention younger, cheaper, and technically has a year of team control left. He'd be a restricted free agent, which, not sure if you're going to tender him in that situation anyway, but does have at least that year. If he all of a sudden breaks out in some way, you do have that year of team control with him as well. So does have some advantages going for him for sure. We'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is just starting, but you can already make season-long more or less picks for the 2025 season on Prize Picks. Enter your picks before week one even kicks off. I had an absolute blast winning on Prize Picks last year, and I am gearing up for another epic run in 2025 and already have some key players in mind, including a breakout year from Jordan Love, a sensational second-year performance from both Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., and an unbelievable rookie debut from Ashton Jeanty. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports, and there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code Packaday to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code Packaday. Prize Picks. Run your game. Any other charting notes?
Running back, no one else got in other than Josh Jacobs and Chris Brooks. Only the interesting thing there to me, Chris Brooks got in on punt protection team, which is one of the most important things I think you could pay attention to in the preseason over any of the tight ends. Huh. That's interesting, right? Because we had talked about how sometimes, like, I feel like the pecking order for a lot of these positions has already been established, right? So it's just, where do you draw that line, and are they above or below that line, right? With the running back position, I think it gets really interesting because Chris Brooks is essentially like this blocking back for them, right? Like, he'll come in when they were doing the third down period, it was him in there instead of Josh Jacobs, because he's going to help in pass protection and stuff like that, right? Depending on where they're at in the 2 minute drill, it was Chris Brooks who was out there, right? On a down to down basis, I don't think Chris Brooks is going to, he's like a specialist, right? If you think about it that way. But he does have overlap with some of these tight end positions, especially on special teams. So let me look. The guys on the punt team. So the Gunners or Flyers, if you want to call them Flyers.
I don't. I want to call it Gunners, and I want to call it special teams. I don't want to call it Flyers, and I don't want to call it Weefence. I'm old school, Justice. I'm old school.
Yep. It was Bo Melton and Isaiah Simmons. Took me a very long time to figure out who the heck Isaiah Simmons was, because he had his rolled up jersey.
I hate the rolled up jersey.
Linebackers usually don't play out there, but
yes.
I think they did it. Didn't they do it in the preseason with like Edrin Cooper or something
they
like that?
They did in the regular season. They did in the regular season with Edrin Cooper. There's a fun world where Edrin Cooper and Isaiah Simmons are gunning down you on special teams. I'm all for it. I want to see it.
Screw that. So the offensive line, Lucas Van Ness, Kingsley and Igbari were playing guard. Semi-important. And Igbari is getting in over Brenton Cox.
Yep.
At least worth noting, right? Isaiah Hopper, Isaiah McDuffie, Tyron Hopper and Isaiah McDuffie were playing the tackles. Not a surprise there. Two backup linebackers. Or I guess, you know, McDuffie's the third linebacker and three linebacker sets, right? Like, that makes a lot of sense. That's where they've played guys before. Deep protection, Christian Welch. Interesting.
And then
Chris Brooks. And then the personal protector is Zane Anderson. I mean, that's where he's been the entire time that he's been with Green Bay. The field goal protection team, it's all the offensive linemen who are available. And then Warren Brinson. So I think that's at least a little interesting that Brinson got tabbed as that guy. Like, TJ Slayton was a guy that they used for field goal protection. But for the most part, I mean, you're going to have tight ends. You're going to have offensive linemen out there. Sure. Big whoop. The guys who make the team and are active on game day are going to be playing on field goal protection. I think that's what it boils down to. I don't care about that too much. I think punt protection is way more important. And I think we got a couple of hints of how they want to go with that one. I thought it was interesting. Fitzpatrick wasn't out there. Fitzpatrick definitely outsnapped Ben Sims. As far as I could tell, Andy, Musgrave, 88. John Fitzpatrick, 86. Ben Sims, 89. All of them with the rolled up jerseys.
Yep.
All of them white dudes, roughly the same size, roughly the same accessories. I did my best. I did my best on charting the snaps. As far as I saw it, it was Fitzpatrick, 11. Ben Sims, 2. That kind of correlates with what we saw toward the end of the year, where the Packers very much liked to play Fitzpatrick over Ben Sims towards the second half of the season, or really like the last third or quarter of the season. They brought him back. They gave him a signing bonus, all that stuff. I think if they keep three, it's John Fitzpatrick as the third guy. And this is just another
point of evidence toward that.
Yeah, the tight end thing is very frustrating with the rolled up jerseys and trying to tell who is who. I was trying to do it in one-on-ones and I'm like, I'm giving up. I can't tell which ones are out there in one-on-ones.
Do it live. I'm on like the, what is it called? VLC or whatever you watch video clips on, and I'm going back and forth. I'm going frame by frame and I'm like, I'm just going to have to make a call, man. Cause I don't like, basically I have to be like, is the top of the number, cause that's all you get to see, is it connected or not? And it's like, I got to make a guess if that's a 6 or a 9 and I'm hoping the 9 isn't an 8 and I'm hoping the 8 isn't a 9, you know? So
yep.
I tried my best. It's the, I told you guys when we talked about Gregory Jr. on my 53-man roster, rest in peace. I didn't mean it for it to go like this. Was the least confident I was of any roster spot. The charting numbers, the least confident I am is tight end. I did my best. I swear to God, I did my best. A lot of time was spent on that.
It is remarkable. When you're scouting a player like in college or when you're doing something like this, how much you appreciate if somebody's got like colorful dreadlocks or if somebody's got like an undershirt that's different than everybody else's
or
like
tights or a towel
hanging out of their back pocket or something that's extra, like those little nuances, different color gloves than the other players. Like that stuff is your best friend when you're doing that stuff. It is really remarkable how when they don't have that, you're like, you spend more time trying to figure out where the player is sometimes than actually watching the player. It's the most frustrating thing in the world, but I digress. Yeah. The one other thing I wanted to ask you about family night, I think there was, maybe there's one other thing I had with what you were just saying, but just really quick on Chris Brooks, that dude's making the team. I still can't quite get to the black Sharpie, the huge black Sharpie and putting it in Sharpie yet. I would be extremely, extremely, extremely surprised if that guy does not make the team. There's a play. I talked about it on one of the pods recently. I think it was LVN versus Jordan Morgan in a practice. And LVN is rushing on the outside. And Jacobs is supposed to come in and chip. So Morgan's expecting that if he goes outside, he's got that chip help. He's kind of, you know, going bull rush or inside rush only because he knows he's got the help on the outside. Jacobs either just whiffs it or doesn't really do it. And I think it was LVN just goes right around for a would-be sack. And, you know, Morgan looks terrible on the play, but he's expecting help on the outside and didn't get it and looks like a fool. The very next play, goodbye, Josh Jacobs. In comes Chris Brooks. He gets the pass pro assignment in the exact same basically situation. Chris Brooks goes up and not only chips LVN, just flat out blocks him. It may have been, it doesn't really matter who it was at the end of the day. Just stuffs him where Morgan's getting ready to be like the next guy in the chain of command to block it once he gets past Chris Brooks. And dude never gets past Chris Brooks. Like that was the difference in nuance in back-to-back plays of like Jacobs completely just basically no shows the block. And Chris Brooks just says, I got this on my own. You, Jordan, you go take a nap on this play. So very big difference. And I guarantee that his pass blocking ability, which Marshawn Lloyd does not have, Emmanuel Wilson theoretically like has the bulk for it, but just has never really been his forte. Jacobs is not good at it. I will be close to damn near stunned if that guy doesn't make the team.
Yeah, I mean, and Matt knows how to use those guys too, right? Like, yep. When AJ Dillon was still playing a ton of snaps for this team, they would, and like Sadie's, right? They would come out on third down in like the empty chips formation, right? Yep. Where, you know, you'd basically have Sadie's and AJ Dillon in like a wing tight end role on opposite sides of the formation. And you're basically in max protect to start the play, chip up the DNs. So it's a, you know, 7-on-4 at the line of scrimmage. Then those guys release it down into the flats. But really, you're just trying to buy time so that you could throw something deeper, you know, either down the sideline or in the middle of the field type of thing. So they'll figure out a way how to get them on the field. I definitely am very much warming up to the idea of Brooks, whether it's on a, you know, a three-man situation where you get rid of Wilson, but I think you have to have confidence in Marshawn Lloyd at that point, yep. Or just keep it on 4. Because Again, if they're not even going to use a tight end on punt team, you probably don't even need four, right? So, okay, we got a number that way. And, okay, if it's not Mecole at wide receiver and we only need to keep five there, and, you know, it's 5.5 with Bo Melton, okay, we got an extra number, right? And a lot of these things start solving themselves. Defensive end, I counted basically when Xavier McKinney was on the field, because the Packers rotated a lot more on the defensive side than they did on the offensive side. So, like, first-team defense, you got a bunch of reps where the starting reps were, like, the starters, and then there would be, like, one or two plays of, like, mixed personnel. But then, like, by the end of the first-team period, it's all second-stringers out there. So I didn't want to count all second-stringers getting reps being as, you know, first-team defense. So – I have Gary down with 20, LVN down with 20, Brent Cox with 2, Baron Sorrell 1, Kingsley Anagbare 1. Biggest takeaway, LVN, clearly the starter.
Yep.
Not shocked based off of what you guys have been saying with starting lineups and all that stuff, you know, throughout the entire offseason. Not making too much of Cox getting one snap more than Anagbare, but again,
double them up.
Double, 100% more. I will say, though, special teams is probably a factor here. One thing that people don't talk about enough is that, like, I think Aaron Mosby was, like, top three in, like, special teams snaps last year for the Packers. He's a very unique guy in terms of his ability to play so many different type of special teams roles as a edge rusher. If Anagbare really does win that punt protection job, I could see that tilting the table between him and Cox. But I also think that there's room to keep six, honestly, because if you're going to go light on numbers that, you know, we talked about potentially tight end, potentially wide receiver, well, then you can go heavy on numbers elsewhere. And defensive end is one of those positions. So.
Mosby third with 241 special team snaps in 2024. Also had
how many did McManus play?
Brandon McManus, like the kicker?
Yeah.
112.
So you played more than twice as much as the kicker.
Yes. I mean, if you added all the kickers combined, it might be different. Yeah. I get was just Narveson. So 170, so 180 kickers combined. So still played more than the kickers combined. Yeah. Correct.
And that's kicks, kickoffs. Yeah. So a significant amount of snaps that guy played. And I don't know if there's room for Mosby on this team, but
practice squad. That's the exact type of guy that you want as your sixth defensive end on the practice squad. And you can call up, play teams when you need him to. Had a terrible grade by PFF's standards, 45.0 on special teams, whatever that's worth. Yeah. So yeah, got a lot of snaps, but he had the 5th lowest grade of anyone on the team. Lowest, Kamal Haddon, but he only played, 7 snaps, something like that? Played 7 snaps. Matt Orzech, the 2nd lowest with a 33.6. That's not great from your long snapper. Bo Melton was 3rd worst, which is actually pretty surprising. Robert Rochelle was 4th worst, and then Aaron Mosby, followed by Chris Brooks, by the way. So, and then Xavier McKinney, of all people. Who knows? Doesn't really matter all that much. All right. That is our... the other last thing, and we'll move on from family night. Our guy, Omar Brown. Did you catch some Omar Brown? Obviously, 2 interceptions were right place, right time. But the third one, pretty damn impressive.
I mean, you keep making interceptions, I mean, it's going to be tough for anyone to overlook it, right? I mean, 3 interceptions at a practice is crazy. Yeah, I mean, I saw people trying to poo-poo it a little bit, sort of like the same thing that you said, right? Where it's like, right place, right time. It's like, that's fine. I mean, have you ever seen an interception rule from the NFL? Like, it's not like all of them are one-handed catches, like tips in the back of the end zone.
Very
type
true.
Of things. So, yeah, I mean, he's at least on the radar, which is good, right, for him. Because I think before he wasn't even on the radar, it was just like, these are the 5 safeties the Packers are probably going to keep. I still kind of think that's probably what is going to end up happening, right? I think the first guy you get rid of is probably be Zane Anderson. And until I see Omar Brown start taking that personal protector role on the punt team over. I'm not going to buy in that someone's going to replace Zane Anderson immediately. But at least he's in this conversation now, which has got to be good for him.
In the conversation, and certainly put on some good tape for any other teams that potentially could be watching the Packers family nights, which I'm sure happens. I'm sure very much. If you've gone through it three times, Justice, other teams have gone through it for sure.
I can almost promise that before it was streaming, people would send people into the actual facility to watch.
Family. For sure. Yeah.
I mean, that stuff happens all the time. You're not supposed to. I think it's against NFL rules. You have to like declare yourself or something like that. But I'm almost certain that has happened.
Got the glasses and the hooded sweatshirt going, you know, at an 85 degree game. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Enough of family night. The big news, of course, Corey Ballantyne is back. You did, bury the lead there a little bit earlier talking about Gregory Jr. is gone. Corey Ballantyne is back. You and I both alluded to this throughout the course of the past week that this would make a ton of sense. Gregory Jr. is the one that they say goodbye to. I talked about it last week a little bit. He got opportunity out there a couple times and just, I didn't feel like he made the most of it. It didn't feel like you were really losing anything if you were to move on, where some of these other guys like a Tyron Herring and Isaiah Dunn, some of those years, there's still a little bit more of an unknown. It felt like they already pushed Gregory Jr. into like, hey, let's see what you got. And it didn't go well. And then they're like, all right, let's figure something else. So I kind of figured he might be the one if they made this type of move, but for special teams, for experience, knowing Jeff Hafley's defense, especially this time of year when you got 91 guys to play with anyway, Corey Ballantyne makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I think he comes in and he's a favorite to win a roster spot, to be totally honest. Like
there was like weird reactions, right, to it. Cause I think a lot of people
reactions.
Yeah, I know. But like I think some people recognize like, oh, cornerback depth has starting experience, like not a total liability at the cornerback position. We saw him play extended football in 2023, right? Yep. I think in total he ended up starting like 8 games in his like 3 years in Green Bay. Played a lot of special team snaps, all that stuff. You know, thumbs up from that. And then the people who were thumbs down were like, well, I really like the idea of like Kalen King or Kamal Haddon or any of these guys getting reps. Ballantyne kept those guys on the bench last year, right? So
yep.
I think he comes in, he's probably going to be above them on the depth chart. Maybe not day one, but like within a couple days, like maybe it'll take him a week to figure out, you know, where they're at in the playbook and all that stuff. But I think it's going to happen pretty quick. So, you know, if your cornerback room is made up, you know, you have the Corey Ballantyne buffer between your top three guys and Nixon Hobbs and Ballantyne and the project that you want in Bo Melton, and those are your five guys, I think you can live with that. And I know there's probably people mad that, you know, Michael Robinson or King or Haddon, you know, potentially couldn't miss out on making this team because of that. But Ballantyne's been pretty good, man. So I'll take Ballantyne. I think they would have had Ballantyne back if he came cheaper, right? Yeah. Fitzpatrick tested the market, and then after a while he came back and the Packers were like, cool, we'll give you like, was it like 150,000 or something like that?
Exactly, yeah.
Ballantyne got like $500,000 from the Colts on a 1-year deal, and they moved on from him before he ever played a game. So
we'll take it.
He got paid. The Packers didn't have to pay it, and now he's they got the best of both worlds out of the situation as far as I see it. So
no, they really did. And here's the thing too, right? Like this is not in any way, shape or form a disqualifier for Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, Micah Robinson, Bo Melton, any of those guys. Like you said, Corey Ballantyne's kind of like the line now of he's been in this role. He knows exactly how to play it. He's been great in the break glass in case of emergency situations where he's needed to play in the past. He's a good special teams player. Like, that's kind of like the ideal number five, number six corner, in this case, maybe even number four. But if you're Kamal Haddon, Micah Robinson, Bo Melton, Kalen King, any of those guys, like, you still have every right to go out and say, I can be better than Corey Ballantyne. Awesome. Go. You have the next month to prove it. And if those guys can, great. Then you go with the younger guys that are now better than Corey Ballantyne. And if Corey Ballantyne's just better, then cool. Then you've got an upgrade at corner that has been a good depth piece in the system in the past. So there's literally, because I guess I can't guarantee it, but I'd be willing to bet it was either no or very minimal signing bonus. My guess would be none. And there's just no, yeah, there's no risk or downside at that time. So yeah, absolutely bring him in. And clearly to me, it would be a better option than Gregory Jr. from what I've seen so far. So this is just an absolute no brainer for Green Bay.
Yeah. I would. I don't know what the Colts situation is like.
Well, did you see that they brought in Trey Herndon and Duke Shelley? Herndon didn't even play a snap last year in the NFL. Duke Shelley played barely any, and neither of them exactly have a great track record. So they gave $500,000 to Corey Ballantyne. And then they had another corner that I think got hurt actually. And then they bring in two like fairly, you know, retread kind of corners and say goodbye to Ballantyne after $500,000 investment without even in playing a preseason game. So very weird, wild situation in Indianapolis, but whatever.
Yeah. I don't get it, but I'm happy he's back on my team. I'll take it.
Very much so. I got a fun one for you. You get to put your Brian Gutekunst hat on. Build me your Dallas Cowboys offer for Micah Parsons. You're making that first phone call to Jerry. You're saying, Jerry, I got the deal to end all deals for Micah Parsons. What is your best offer? What's the most you're willing to give for Micah Parsons?
Do I get credit for salary dumping, expiring deals? Romeo Doubs, Kingsley Adegbare. Let me think.
Rashid Walker.
Man, I got to stop playing about Rashid Walker's name after Saturday.
He's a good player.
I need you starting every game at left tackle this year. I apologize for everything I've insinuated. I don't know. I mean, it's going to cost you first, right? Like, that's the big thing. It's going to cost you first. I wouldn't go above that. I still don't. I don't think the Packers aren't going to do it.
No, they're not.
They're not going to do it.
Correct.
But it'll cost you first.
If you are Goody, you're the GM, you can get him for two firsts. Are you doing it? And giving him the 40 bazillion, whatever per year that he wants in money as well?
No. I'll ride with LBN. The team's already going to have to make cap maneuvers. If you're doing it, you're signing up for a juiced 2025 and then a slow decay from that point on. I think the Packers will try to build something a little bit more stable than that, you know, year to year.
We'll be right back. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/Packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code Packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/Packaday and use the code Packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. I'm saying yes. The only reason I'm saying yes, well, I guess in this case, Goody's not the GM because I'm the GM, but I trust Goody to find good players like he's done pretty much everywhere. Like value free agent signings, late round draft picks, guys off of practice squads. Yeah, he's just consistently, that pro personnel department has done an unbelievable job, and their late round drafting has done an unbelievable job of consistently finding good players pretty much everywhere. Their sort of issue has been finding, outside of, again, Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, of course, there's exceptions, but their issue has been finding the premium player, the one that kind of sets you apart. So two late round, first round picks is what I'm hoping they're going to be anyway, which they have not had a ton of success with those. Of all the good things they've done, those have not been the things that they've exactly done a great job with. I'm willing to give up two of those. I get the contract's probably the bigger thing in this scenario, but I'm willing to take my flyer and that they can refill the roster with late round draft picks like they have forever and refill it that way. So I probably would, but to your point, the bigger thing is here, there's no way they're going to do it.
The contract is the big thing to me, because it's like, okay, you give Micah Parsons a deal. How much harder does it get to re-sign Tucker Kraft? How much does it hurt your ability to maneuver whatever the heck is going to happen with Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker? And if you're not going to pay them, okay, who's starting though, right? Rasheed Walker is already a situation. We have a big question mark circled around his future, right? Like all those things.
It's a fair point. It's valid.
All that stuff. Josh Jacobs isn't getting any younger, and we know what happens at the running back position, all that stuff, right? So, you know, there's going to be a lot of decisions that need to be made. I don't know if tying your hands on a deal is great, which is probably what the Cowboys are saying, where they're like, dude, we are paying CeeDee Lamb so much. We are paying Dak Prescott so much. Tyler Smith already got hit with the fifth-year option that is paying him, I think, what, like the – he's going to have the second biggest cash flow of any guard in football next year. Okay. And that's before he signs an extension. And he's going to get way more in the signing bonus. And now we have to deal with the Parsons situation. How much stars and scrubs can you get? And then we've seen some of the stars and scrubs stuff happen before, right? Like that 2016 Falcons team was stars and scrubs. And then it's just slow decay for 5 years until everyone gets tired of seeing the same people. And you make the decision to go a different direction. So I'm hoping for something a little bit more stable than that. If it wasn't for the contract, I'd do it. Like if the Cowboys are eating the signing bonus on the deal, it's going to be a sign and trade type of situation. Sure.
Right.
Send them two first round picks. I don't care. But the big contract, I think it would stretch the Packers a little bit too thin. They have about like $2 million in cap space next year anyway. So, and they're going to have all these situations to navigate through. Like,
get the credit card out, Justice. Get it out. Start borrowing future
swipe,
years.
Swipe.
Yep. Never comes back to haunt you ever. Never, ever.
No.
All right, really? Did you get to watch much of the Hall of Fame game?
I paid attention a little bit. I saw a couple Trey Lance drives, and then I tuned out after that.
I was just
Greg Roman's a psycho for running back at the goal line with,
I love it,
Trey Lance. Like, dog, these games don't even count. You're going to break the guy. Enough.
I don't think they care. I just was curious if you got to look at the new kick return rules and if you had any takeaways from those at all. That was the only thing that was kind of interesting to me. Of like, it seemed like it legitimately could actually get more returns. Maybe it's just a preseason thing. We'll see.
You know, I completely forgot about the kick return rule. Well, what, the touchback comes out to the 30 now?
35? Five? I don't even remember. It just felt like there was more returns. That was my big takeaway from that. We don't need to even go too much further
into it. I had forgotten about this. I am now going to be paying attention to it every preseason.
Guess what? You've got homework on Thursday. You've got homework on Thursday to watch. In fact, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You've got 16 preseason games to watch this weekend and report back next week on new kick return rules.
You got it.
For those who are listening on the audio, I just got a salute from Justice. So that is a total go. All right, last but not least, before I get you out of here, Packers-Jets, first preseason game of the year. The low-hanging fruit, should Jordan Love and the first teamers play? The second thing is, what are you going to be looking for in this game?
They don't have a joint practice for this one, right?
They do not. That's kind of the interesting thing is the other two they do. So you could probably just get away with joint practices for the other two and then maybe not playing them in the game. So, and this one's the furthest one away where if there is an injury to a starter, you at least get an extra week for it to kind of heal back. So do you give them the series in this game and then just do joint practices the other two? Like I'm slightly intrigued.
That's probably what I would do. The weeks of the joint practices, I probably wouldn't play the starters in the preseason games. You know, it gives more guys deeper on the roster, more opportunities and all that stuff too toward cutdowns. So yeah, I'd probably play them even if it's
series, you know,
only a quarter or something like that versus the Jets, and then bubble wrap them until the season starts, basically. That's the way I would do it. Josh Myers revenge game? Question mark.
Did you see it's a legit competition? Like him and Tippmann are going toe for toe. They're both getting 50% of the snaps. Yeah, true 50-50 competition so far, which everyone kind of expected Tippmann just to be the guy, especially after Myers just got 1 year, $2 million. But I guess the familiarity with Justin Fields, the Ohio State connection, and yeah, that's an interesting one. Apparently it's a true 50-50 competition so far at center.
Good for him. If he wants to double up and, you know, switch helmets for the third team offense and come snap for us, so we don't have to see Donovan Jennings out there. I'll take it.
Pull a Pro Bowl Jeff Saturday, play for both teams throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, why not?
The Packers Pro Bowler Jeff Saturday, of all the absurd Pro Bowl.
Most fraudulent. Most fraudulent Pro Bowl. He got benched that year.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure he did. He was terrible. Was
it like Evan Dietrich Smith sat his ass down? Yeah, I think that was what it was. Yeah,
EDS. Yeah. Good old EDS.
Yep.
All right. What else are you looking for? Packers, Jets.
Get healthy. Guys, get healthy. Colin Oliver, I would like to see you at some point. Running back room, please don't be this banged up. I am interested in seeing kind of like the backup running backs, because I feel like the backup running backs are the guys who kind of break out in the preseason, but you also like never have an inkling on what guy it's going to be until you actually see these games. So I don't know if it's going to be one of the two UDFAs.
It's going to be Amar Johnson if there is one. That's my prediction. So? Yeah. I mean, Abanaconda is super talented. He just, I don't know. He's like, he fell out of favor like this in New York. San Francisco picks him up last year off of waivers, and they were like, Patrick Taylor was getting carries for them. Mm-hmm. So like, if there was ever an opportunity, and they like usually take any running back and turn him into like, yep, this guy looks amazing. All of a sudden he couldn't even get on the field in San Fran. And then they move on from him before the first preseason game this year. So I don't know what it is, but the teams have not exactly been enamored with him when they've gotten him.
Yeah. So those are just a couple of things that I'm keeping an eye on. I mean, obviously, like if we get Carrington out there, I heard Matt say that like he completely transformed his body.
He looks great.
Get that many looks at, you know, how he fit the run and stuff like that in those practices. If I could see that on film, that would sure ease my thoughts a lot. Bo Melton, another similar situation, right? I could see him going in on one-on-one drills and stuff like that. I want to see how he fits the run, all that stuff. More reps for special teams opportunities, as sick as that sounds. But yeah, like I'm going to be paying attention to that. Those are kind of my rough ideas. I do wonder, Welsh is the other one. The guy that I've kind of written off already, but he was with the first team punt unit. I'm like, yeah.
That guy was on like the first team every special teams last year and had for preseason, and then had like the preseason to end all preseasons where he was like everyone darling and still couldn't make it last year. So
I know, but
climb.
At least going to keep an eye on it. At least going to monitor the situation.
I'm excited for the Georgia defensive tackles. I want to watch some Brinson and Stackhouse, see how they, no pun intended, stack up against the Jets this weekend, and maybe going against Josh Myers a little bit as well. What more could, like that? What a great litmus test for Packers fans of like, how do they do against Josh Myers? If Josh Myers is just stalemating them, it's like, all right, we've got some work to do. And if they're beating them, all right, maybe it's somewhat of a good sign. All right. Final thoughts, Justice, before we get out of here.
I think we kind of hit everything. By the time you guys listen to this,
new site.
Have a complete facelift. Yeah.
Love this. So
that'll be fun. So yeah, be fewer ads. Everything will be
a lot more user-friendly on both mobile and desktop if you guys want to check it out. We have this new thing called the feed that any of the commenters can contribute to and stuff like that. So if you want to go in there, play around with it and all that stuff, talk to the community, I'd appreciate it. I think it'll be good for the site. So acmepackingcompany.com.
Go ahead. Check that out. It is, it's fantastic. It's must read all season long, especially this time of year, because Justice is going to be nerding out about something. Dusty's going to be nerding out about something. The entire team is just the greatest collection of, you know, Packers nerds, that there's always something out there of super.
That's how I try to build it.
Thinking of, I love every second of it. You guys do incredible work, and I know I'm out there every single day. So acmepackingcompany.com, JUMOSQ for Justice on social media. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL, and of course the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for Justice and I today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.